And guy was telling me how he was born in this country, but to Canadian parents who were actually. Why is it? What is it you're doing back there to me? Something's wrong. I'll put it up here. Let's see what we can. Is that better? You feel better? Now. Okay. It's a clean start. That's good. Oh, here comes a latecomer. And so the guy was saying, you know, there's a guy with two son-in-laws that are electricians, and you think he'd do something, you know, like you think he would make a phone call or something, you know, but no. Can I say he goes out and gets a coat instead? So the guy says, you know, I was born in a country to Canadian parents, but they were there on mission work, and we had to gather wood to cook at night. We walked 3 miles to get water that wouldn't kill you to drink. You could wash in it, but the water that was around there, you didn't drink it. If you got sick, everybody prayed, and that's about all you could do. You had trouble with the rabble-rousers. They hadn't invented police yet. And I said, that's interesting. He said, my parents would tell me that I was a Canadian. And that if I got sick, I could just go to a hospital. Didn't have clean water, you could phone somebody up and they'd fix it. Like they had all these municipal guys who were experts on these things. And they graded your roads or paved your roads and put lights up so you could see at night on the streets. He said, I didn't realize that the only way to partake of that, even though I was a Canadian, was I had to get to the country, to the kingdom of Canada. I was a Canadian all along. Interesting. There is a good thing going on whenever people gather together that are like-minded, that are compassionate to one another, of the same ideas and philosophy, the same spirit. And it doesn't matter whether they're Hindu or Sikh or Muslim or Christian. You still have a good community and a good group. They could be members of the Lions Club. They could be Rotarians. They could be kinsmen. But there's a difference in the Christian church. The Christian church actually has a community that believes not only in the fellowship, but as Paul would say, in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That's one of the reasons we have times when we pray for the sick and we expect good things to happen, and why we hear the testimonies of what the Lord is doing. And the amount of testimony that's coming out of the church, the body of Christ, is increasing remarkably. If you're watching, it's not on the main news networks. but it's on the hotlines. So, three simple scriptures today, and then we're going to take some time and pray. Get ready to pray. The first scripture I'm going to read is from Mark, chapter 16. Jesus kind of sets the map up. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. They went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. Now, it's interesting because he'd been telling them for years that this was going to happen. In fact, some of them, like Peter, were rebuking him for saying it. So obviously they didn't discount it. Jesus is not just joking. Jesus is not just pulling our leg. Jesus is telling us he's going to be crucified and rise again on the third day. Then when it happens, they can't believe it. People that they know and walked with for 3 years in the same job, going to the same cafeterias, catching the same bus or boat, are telling them, no, it's true, and we've seen it. They still don't believe. Jesus said something interesting to the Pharisees. He said, I want a sign. He said, I give you a sign, but you would not believe. Believing in the Spirit is a decision of the Spirit, not of the soul. But the soul can interfere, and your words can interfere. They went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. Either because they hadn't already not believed the two ladies who went out to the grave. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, dinner. He reproached them for their unbelief. What he didn't like about what they were doing was disbelieving. That was the reproach. Let's see here. Am I getting green? I'd like to be more green here these days. The areas you can't believe what the scripture is saying versus your experience are indications that you have hardness of heart. The witness is there that it's already happened, just like there's people who already saw Jesus. They still won't believe. They won't believe. That is, would not believe. Not could not. Would not. If you've been in the North American market for a while, where merchandising is king, you've already believed some things that are totally false. But the truth, you will not believe. That's interesting, isn't it? And he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said this to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. When you say all creation, you could include this mountain and this mulberry tree and this storm. He who has believed, there's a threshold there. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved, that's an active verb, has disbelieved, shall be condemned. Verse 17. These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. And if you've got the New American Standard, and if you don't, there's more of them on the table back there. The New American Standard has said poison, but it is a italicized word, so it is a selection of the translators. It is not in the actual Greek. So I just say thing, and it works fine. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The they being the believer, and the second they being the sick. This is not telling you to believe in Jesus when you lay hands on the sick. You're already a believer. Okay? These signs will accompany those who have believed. They have believed that Jesus is the Christ. But now, as an accompanying sign, they lay hands on the sick and they recover, means they believe that when they lay hands on them in the name of Jesus, they will recover. That is what you believe if you want to start seeing people healed. So then when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. So it wasn't just a promise. It was a working premise. Let's go to Acts. Chapter 3. So there's two things we're getting across here. One for you, the believer, and two for you who need the recovery. I'm taking care of both of them right now. Same place. For what? See, we got a sale on today. Two for one. Acts 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple. This is after the Lord has risen, after he has appeared, and after he has ascended. So risen is out of the grave, ascended is into heaven. And after the Holy Spirit has come. Sigmar, if you do that again. The one that was so important. The one that was so important to Paul that he determined not to know all of his fancy theology. He determined to know Jesus Christ and him crucified when he preached. And he came in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That's what set him apart from all the other, the Thor worshipers and the Hercules worshipers of the day. We have those again today, you know. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. That's about 3 p.m. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb, that's a long time, was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. That's a German word, alms. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. He had a little piece of cardboard, said anything would help. God bless you. I'd like to see someone get out of the car one day and help some of those people. Really help them. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, both of them, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention. Expecting to receive something from them. Expecting alms. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold." Now the rich Jews who used to go up there, they had silver and gold. That was one of their things. They liked the money. And that's why you went there. That's where the money was. You know, they asked the guy who was caught robbing banks all the time, "Why do you rob banks?" And he said, "Because that's where the money is." So this guy's at the temple because that's where the money is. That's where the alms come. He says, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you." Peter was recognized as an ignorant man who had been in the presence of Jesus. That's how they knew him on the street. "What I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. He's lame. He pulled the lame guy up. He's still lame. And immediately after he's up, his feet and his ankles were strengthened. He'd been in physio since he was 6 weeks old. Maybe not. With a leap, he stood upright. Never had weight on those ankles before. And began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Then all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the Beautiful Gate, because they would take him down every day because that's where the money was. And they were filled with wonder and amazed at what had happened to him. When I was in India, you used to see a lot of lame people, cripples, begging, young people. Seemed like a high number. But I was told they would sometimes cripple their children so that they would be better, more alms. You were always a better if you were crippled or lame. That's not the way the Lord does it. While he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. So if you are a Christian and you feel you don't have enough attention, you can get on a social media network. There are Christian dating sites, I understand. You can go to the pubs at night. You can get a chain. Show up at Tim's. Give out candies to kids at Christmas time. Or you can go heal a prominent cripple, a lame person, and they will instantly like you. While he was clinging to Peter and John, now there's someone who likes you. All the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon. Full of amazement, when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? And why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk?" Isn't that interesting? This is the same guy who said, "What I do have, I give to you." You see, you can get confused in your head if you don't know how to hold it, even when it's not yours. If you don't know how to deliver it because you've got it, but without thinking that it's somehow your own piety or power. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one. Peter knows, because he did the same thing. He disowned him three times. So I know what they were feeling like. And asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in his name, in my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He put out his hand, he grabbed him by the hand, and he said, "Walk," and pulled him up. And he was lame. In the name of Jesus, which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him the perfect, the first him was with a capital H, was given him his perfect health in the presence of you all. That's not bad, eh? I was going to take it into James, but I don't want to cut off. I don't want to cut off our prayer time. And I'm not getting good support today, so I'm feeling that we should just kind of... You can grow with respect to faith if you choose to be a believing one. Faith will help you know what you have for yourself and to give others. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if you see someone who needs recovery, lay hands on them in the name of Jesus, and they will recover. Don't go in just believing in the name of Jesus. Go in believing that if I see someone who needs recovery and I lay hands on them in the name of Jesus, they will recover. Remember John Wimber? John Wimber started the Vineyard Church. And it got bigger and bigger. Big movement. Hundreds of churches. But he said he prayed for 1,000 people before he got his first miracle. Now, I don't know whether he got any of the 1,000 healed by faith. Because you can be healed by faith and you can be healed by miracle. You can be healed by manifestation, which is really an operation of kingdom designed to be the calling card of the gospel if you begin to study it. Or you can get healed because it's part of a salvation that comes to any believer. It's instantly available. And you begin to appropriate it. Because what did Peter say? Get past the milk. Actually he said, receive the pure milk of the word that you may grow with respect to salvation. When your salvation isn't complete, Peter encourages you to take the milk of the word to grow with respect to it. I think when you see Peter talk about that, he is trying to get people to grow in their ability to appropriate what the Lord has already bought for them in the area of salvation. And I think Paul, when he's talking about not being mature and needing to move from milk to meat, he wants to give them meat. He was talking about the transition you are in the salvation part of life, born again, that need to begin to move into kingdom. We got time to pray. If you need something in your body or your mind, I'm impressed lately by the people, even within our walls, who come and have improved their mind. Now, when I say the mind, I mean the soul. And that is both your intellect and your emotions. Some of emotions is attitude, negative or positive. Some of emotions is oppression. I'm impressed that people can put their emotional stability back together if they want it. And what do I mean, if you want it? Well, Jesus always said, repent. And in this area, I think it means stop making excuses for yourself. Just repent. Say, Lord, I need to be healthier, happier, friendlier. I need to be able to walk like a Christian. Can you help me do that? Yes, he can. And if you didn't get the Holy Spirit since last week, Wenzel will lay hands on you. You'll get it today. That was his thing. Oh, yes, sir.